Sounded cool.
Thank you so much. It is a pleasure to be here with you all today. Really. Y'all are amazing. I love the five-word challenge and the community that it creates. So that's a really beautiful and unusual, rare, precious treasure that you have here. So that's, it's absolutely beautiful to be here. So I'm going to be reading from Boogeyman Dawn, as well as the new manuscript, which I just printed today. And it's beautiful. I've been like caressing it all day. It won't be so clean for long. I'm going to be tearing that up tomorrow. But right now it's like, oh, sleep next to me. So I'll be reading from the second book as well as this third collection that I'm working on. So the second book answers the question, so what happens to the boogeyman, that mythological figure of darkness, the figure we blame, the one of nightmares when dawn comes, when light comes. Does he retreat into the shadows, or does he retreat into the shadows within us? So hopefully you know my answer by the end. Piece of clay. As sung by Marvin Gaye. Father, stop criticizing your son. Mother, please leave your daughters alone. Don't you see that's what's wrong, wrong with the world today? Everybody wants somebody to be their own piece of clay. Hear me. Everybody wants somebody to be their own piece of clay. The Rising. He tells the other soldiers before they go about their killing that his woman at that moment bakes bread to scent the house. That for nearly 1 year she has baked a different loaf and wrapped it tight in cellophane so that he can see her heart beating. The mail too slow, she points the computer's camera at the perfect loaf, says smell, and he does through the screen. A viscous melody flows down the nose into the open throat and he sings a moan of the familiar. Every week, a different loaf, raisin, banana nut, vanilla, and peach that he smells first before the children devour the bread that their love sets. He tells the other soldiers that when he goes home, the curtains will exhale the breath of bread, pears, cinnamon. He tells them he wants to be like bread, kneaded by her fingers, filled with sweetness, baked within her oven body. Then he carries the gun and fills his eyelight with darkened glass and dust. That very afternoon, a woman will wait for her man. The house will smell of bread, spice, and sweat, and then, suddenly, copper. So I'm really used to people, if you like the line or you like the poem, to like be audible about it. Like, and or so, you know, to show some sort of, you know, affirmation. So let's just practice that, like just a right? So oh yeah, okay. Okay. This is good. You're now ready. You're now really ready. Okay. So if you like it. Wolf Rock School, October 2006. So I happened to be in Montana. I was at an artist refuge there working on the beginnings of what this would become. And I'm in this town of 300 people based in Montana, very small, artsy community. And on the news, there is some news from home, from Pennsylvania. I'm originally from Philadelphia. And the news from Amish country, I don't know if you know the Amish. So Amish country is that there has been this devastating shooting, right? and these five little girls are killed in this school shooting. And I'm like, really? The Amish? Like, what the fuck do the Amish do? Like, they don't do anything. Like, they don't do anything against anybody. They're filled with peace and just living their lives. And really, the like, their children? If their children are safe, nobody's children are safe. And so I was really upset, and just this idea of these school shootings, and over, if you follow any news in the States, it just keeps happening over and over and over again. And as an educator, every time I'm just traumatized by it. So this comes from that, as well as the next poem. Wolf Rock School, October 2006. 1. Between crop fields that rise golden and whisper when dry, and a husk is all that remains, a white clapboard school sits with a few desks and chairs for the local boys and girls. They come most mornings by horse-drawn buggy or on foot, the boys in dark homespun breeches and straw hats, the girls in their white caps and frocks. They clatter together over wooden planks with heavy-heeled shoes until the day's lesson begins. This is paradise for any child. When the class is small and the schoolhouse as serene as the immense landscape that rises and falls in green grass and autumn leaves in their colorful falling dance. The milkman rides down the road once a week to collect the milk from their parents, which is the only contact most have at this age with the outside world and its machines. Paradise in chalk, paradise in blackboard, paradise in nature, what a place to grow. 2. Shoot me first, said Marion, to save the other girls. He did. Shoot me second, said her sister, but she survived her courage, thank God. 3. A wolf howls from a lone rock that levitates up into the clouds, a woeful sound that circles around the shoulders of weeping mothers like a thin shawl. 5 little girls executed in paradise. The plank boards of the school reddened with blood, and so too the earth below. The milkmen came to catch the bounty of the Amish again, this time in their children. He must have confused the white-capped girls with the rocking peaks of milk. He thought to dip his finger here and taste. He pounded 10 eyebolts into a wall spaced 10 inches apart to truss up the girls he kept when he sent the rest away so that he could touch them in a line. How efficient. A siren wail thwarted his saliva-dripped desire, so he shot the girls and himself, most execution style, their blood mixed with his amid crayons and lesson books. 4. With these other women, she dresses the girls in white. These children she turned with her own midwife fingers and shepherded into the world. 5. A nearby meeting house stretches its doors for the morning and the candles they bring. Night lingers on longer than usual, and the Amish bow their heads, their whole bodies into prayer. Sam Stolfus, a grandfather of one of the girls, speaks to the boys who survive. Do not think this man evil. Their hearts they must resign to God, keep them smooth and untwisted by hate, and to those around him who listen to his husky woodcutter voice, a funeral to us is a much more important day than the day of birth, because we believe in the hereafter. The children are better off than their survivors. The congregation says amen and moans in agreement. This meeting place, too, is holy. Mothers look to their sons and fathers to their daughters. Those who were not there or escaped and hold them dearer wonder how this will change the future while they plan the funerals of Naomi Rose, Anna May, Marion, Mary Liz, and Lena. Determine which horses and which buggies will bear them up to heaven. 6. Simple pine boxes with no metal pins, engraved, dug by hand. All things return to dust. So this next poem is creepy, y'all. And I'm not even lying, it's creepy. There's a song that I'll sing at the very beginning, and it's not in the book, but I did a reading a few years back, and I used this poem in that reading as this book was being formulated. And the song haunted me. It wouldn't let me go all day. And so now every time that I read this poem, I sing the song because I think that it goes creepily with this. The Pistol's Confession. Go to sleepy little babe. Go to sleepy little babe. Come lay bones on the alabaster stones and be my ever-loving babe. Go to sleepy little babe. Go to sleepy little babe. You and me and the devil make three. Don't need no ever-loving babe. All I ever wanted was to be held slick in his grip, wetting me down with warmth. I wanted to be a vessel for his fire, explosive possibility of the spark, the powder that swallows resolution and spits it out and challenges steel. I was born to be a force of reckoning, a force to split and fuse with heat. I was forged to be the forge for smoldering, but never this. I was not shaped for this. His eyes were faulty, but I could see all those pretty little faces, not pinned to straw, but moving and shifting from smile to grimace, moving target, sure, but not those hitched on a motor and dragged left and right, forward and backward. These cowered beneath deaths, hid themselves even within their bones. I just wanted to be held. And there he was holding me to fire, to the ecstasy killing. All those pretty little faces, with my charred mark, my sizzle and burn, they explode just like straw and bits. I teased, seduced with my circle of steel like a ring of promise. Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies. Oh, how I sung for him over the whimpers, the bloody throats gurgling their last prayers. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. I was so good, he couldn't help but hold me close, right so he could hear me. I gave him his resolution back. Ashes, ashes, won't you hold me? Won't you hold me? I just wanted to be held. Okay. Okay. Y'all right? Y'all right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every now and then I think about that I should like carry the cards for wherever I go, like a local therapist. Like, if this has traumatized you, here's the number to call. Because I'm not that person, but maybe. Pillow letter. A little bit of a lift. With the epigraph of, the road and the house love me, the living and the dead, from Adonis. I have wanted to write a letter for a long time to tell you it's the small things I love. Today it was that you made the bed in your unassuming, simple way. The pillows were flattened, pressed out. I always prop them up for the look, readjust to snuggle into bed as if someone will come while I am gone to examine sheet tucks, the coverlet creases, hold me accountable if it's not catalog perfect. I know this is silly, but today, when I got home from such a long day at the school, I went into the bedroom and saw the made bed, the ready pillows. They welcomed me for a nap. I turned down the edge and crept in, imagined your body there on the right side where you always are. I slept sound. It's the small things I love, the small things that love me. Okay, so we're going down the dark road again, but I promise I'll bring you out. I promise I will. New poems. So I've been trying to write this manuscript around dislocation. Location, dislocation. I've lived, traveled a lot of places, and also kind of felt like I belonged in one place, but also feeling like an outsider. For example, in like the first few weeks of me living in Germany, I had a man, his name was Ziggy. Ziggy came up to me and he was like, as if my color would come off. And he was like, I like the brown girls. I'm like, I like me too? Like, what am I supposed to say to that? Like, so, some really weird things, like, oh, I'm in this bar, I'm having a good cider with everybody else, and I got this random German dude filling me up here. This is okay. So I've been writing about that, but I've been having these poems from the news insert themselves, and so some of these are from that. Da-da-di-da. These white shroud-bound bodies, once children with wild hair, eyes that glimmered in buzzing light, fireflies and brown skies, tenderness of zephyr wind, scented in jasmine and honey. These bodies wrapped in gauze, split open just hours ago, someone's meat to mangle with tester bombs, the kind meant to warn citizens to run when between the sea and dust, 12 kilometers. A stone's throw skipping, a lullaby swaying from mother lips, called to come back to the house before streetlights brighten the night. A child could cross that in one day's play. They were just feeding the chickens. Corn from line palms, rippling mutilation in the grooves. What is the song children sing when dreaming listless? Does it sound like this? The space of a few kilometers. It is their fault the children die. Look how they carry slim bodies, flesh jutting bones. These spawned warmongers onto the roofs, glass eyes that guide missiles might be moved to stay sheathed, grounded far from Gaza. It is their fault how child blood paints the street. They should have gone when told, left their homes. They are just rocks and mortar. We must shatter. Look how their brothers hide missiles at playground edges, at the centers of moss, couched within hospitals, rows of tattered shoes. It is their fault that they breathe. They should descend to dust. If they must live, there are pebbles for bread, olive leaves for shelter. What need have they for homes, for children? It is their fault, pity me, that the rocks rain. We own the sky, fiery justice. It is their fault. No need to spin truth. Pity me. Pity me, pity me. My dreams, screaming I never heard. Hashtag, not a martyr. This wiry frame was not positioned to hold a pulsating belief. All crimson, gauzy shroud, desert light, the mirage of something better. No one will know the name of that child, the mother at her errands, the man rubbing his calloused palms who dreamed of when they were smooth as skipping stones and soft as his mother's pillowing breasts, all gone, scalding fire, fire flash, drums and cymbals. This is no celebration, but there are bodies, split open, scorched to crackling. Martyrs do not carry grocery lists. These are not the notes left behind for someone to remember. No reporter will write these names, and yet they will be scripted on banners at protests. Their death pictures printed on the revolution, their serrated limbs paraded in front of a mob or trampled over by it, after shouts turned to silence, giving way to the stars in their conversation. Your signals are faulty. Your heads bowed to glowing screens. Look up. Look up. Look up. We are here, dancing. Y'all okay? Okay. So, let's see. 73. To fall to sleep. To fall to sleep, then wake. There are days when I do not wish to write a word, just stay in bed and dream of things I will not remember. Small poem. I think somebody feel that. okay, so I will read one last sadder poem, and then we will go into the territory of light, and I know that you're ready for it. I know that you're ready. So Eden, for Aiden Gregory Century, 58 days old, my nephew. One, paradise to flesh. Here buzzes the song of fireflies floating. Silent lanterns illuminate the haze. She swallowed the box. Her abdomen glows beneath my hand, a pounding that sways within the growing globe of her body. Two, sonogram. Look deep. A grainy image of a figure twisted dance. He plays hide and seek in a closet. I see him behind the walls. Another thump. She taps her feet in her brother's still palm, her hand a swift gliding on the wind. They hold one another, all spark and breath. Ava, our little bird. Aiden, our little fire. The doctor asks if we want to see the faces. I swell, nod my head through tears, and the machine uncoils one face in a hush. My sister's forehead. A flat plane, her husband's nose all button and wide. Ava's eyes seem open, and I wonder what world she sees. Aiden won't twist. We sing and warn him by pressing on my sister's belly with care. He sleeps stubbornly. He has shown his heart. The limping pulse, that must be enough. Turning is too much. We smile. Not knowing, I hold Ava's picture like an icon, staring deep into the eye pits until I feel her stare back. I hold three, NICU. I hold Ava and Aiden is ash. Fires burn so fast you flash in air. No fanning would keep the ember steady. Ash on wind, he's gone. Ash on my tongue where I kissed his smooth forehead, newly washed of the tape that held the monitors of his life. Four. On the last day, I held Ava's hand to Aiden's, the first and last time in this world. They'll play together in their dreams, my sister said like a prayer. The others had left. I remained a moment while the girl cried a goodbye her lips could not form. While he heard a goodbye he could not know. And when it was time for the machines to stop, I carried the bird away from the fire, heavy, heavy, I lost my way. A labyrinth of curtains, infants in pain, mothers weeping in whispers or outcomes, possibilities, preparations, or praying unction thanks. How had that storm found its way into sunny, sterile halls? I could barely see for the light, refracting from streaming glass, strange, terrible, beautiful wonderland. I must be dreaming. Alone, I carried the sister while her brother closed his eyes to wait for his first bath. Can you stay with me long enough to do two last poems?
Yeah? Yeah.
Do three last poems.
You haven't been long enough. What a thing to say. What a little folk with this. I'm recording this. Oh, goodness. Okay, so, yes, we'll see how it goes. What to see in Paris? At the highest point of the Musée d'Orsay, time unspools in reverse. Left to right, it ticks from minute to hour, a slow waltz among impressionist stillness. Through the former train station's clock, Paris splays its finery, green-tinged ripples of the Seine, the ends of the Tuileries, the pomp of the Louvre, former palaces, cathedrals, moving figures caught up in the mundane. Inside the gallery, play vibrates in painted layers. Renoir invites the eye to floor step patterns with friends long dead, and yet still vital, exciting the room as I see mid-turn in the thrall of couples spinning to quick-step time. Imagine the tap that invades the body, foot thumps to matching heart, the ballet girls of Degas wait on their pedestals, watching crinoline float beneath satin and pastels and stripes. The mob of onlookers, with their staid guide voices, pumped through headphones, will wait only long enough for the recording to stop. Move only to the next number on the dial. Time ticks on. Forward, backward, still. Leap the gallery into this thrash, sweet life. Oh, you're saying the morning. Okay. So yeah, then I think I can read two more then, and you'll be okay. So I'm gonna there's one poem that I'm really excited to read, but I'm gonna save it for last because it's different, and I'll show you why how it's different in a second. But I'll read this one first.
Isn't that cool?
Okay, anyway. So, Maybe, with an entrance from Maybe this time. I'm in love, y'all. I'm in love, and it's beautiful, and I'm like singing about it and writing about it. It's great. So, Maybe. Maybe this time I'll be happy. Maybe this time he'll stay. Maybe this time, for the first time, love won't hurry away. And maybe, when I kiss his lips, honey will coil in the caverns of my mouth, buzz with a sweetness that comes from traveling on air, trusting that somewhere there will be the stuff of engoldening. I made that up. Maybe when I grace his beard with tender hand, the feel of petal gruff will root at the nub, thrill me to giggling like a child running through the thrush magic of a lavender field in full bloom. And maybe when I nuzzle his hair as he rests his head at my breast, the coconut oil perfume will transport us into beachside languor, where even in stillness there is the cool clarity of breeze, blow, breath, and maybe, just maybe he'll remain fiery to panting, as inexhaustible as the sun. Suns do cool, stars fail, disappear with a wink, galactic fireflies in the distance, bearers of a thousand names or long dead before carrying one. Nothing lasts forever, but a moment, a maybe, that seems to extend to yes.
Okay, last poem.
And I promised you light, so here it is. So the poem is different, and I'm not going to read the sides, but it's kind of cool, yeah? So, it's like going all over the place, and it's lovely, and I'm going to read the center. So, and Nevaeh is heaven spelled backwards. And it's called everywhere. Let us call this place Nevaeh. Bliss. The state between a corridor of floating chiffon light, thin to parting but layered to opaque resplendence, a solid mystery, soft to touch. It bends around a body that has no bones, boundless in dance, extending to spiral with prism majesties and contracting to trumpet sound. Echo loveliest, see leaf bud explode to spring green tongue on a knobby thin branch. Then the beneficence of sycamore shoot up to pulsing orb light, then crumble, then dust, then again. A cycle of rebirth in an instant, a swirl of breath. The you imagines me, us belong to one another, coil and glimmer, water ripple, chords against stone, sachet of sound. How sound interpolates light, Z. Gender dissembles more than echolalia. How spark, synapse, pulses in complement, discord that leads to and from accord, fluid path. Call this place Nevaeh, though it has no name, but holds tendrils of thrush, quick spin like ladybug on back oar, quicksilver salmon calculating force to effect change, climb flight, let us call the place without place, whole, shattered, traveling through cells, dust and the trail of a tadpole's thrash, or a comet orbiting, a non-existent thumb, print this on the world, wonder, miracle, or yes, and no, because it is everywhere. Like, this is amazing. This is the most exciting place that I've been to on my tour. So this is awesome. I'm really, really thrilled. Thank you so much. Yeah.